Praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. Welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus podcast, where lives have been transformed and enriched by the preaching of the Word of God. Hallelujah. So we've been studying Bible truths concerning the local church, and this is episode 30 or part 30 in this series. Hallelujah. I trust God that you've been blessed, and then we are already wrapping up the series. And then today, I just want to focus on the essence of the local church again. Amen. And I want to plead with you to allow God's wisdom compel you, or to allow God's wisdom inspire or motivate your choice of a local church. You know, this series will have been a waste not on everybody's part, on your own part, if after listening to everything, you still settle down in a place where there's no biblical pattern for doing ministry. Amen. You see, one of the things I've found out in my life is how that, or in my life and in ministry, is how that a lot of people love to receive the doctrine of the apostles, doctrines concerning salvation, because, it's convenient to hear that Jesus saves once for all time, or to hear that you are given righteousness by faith, when the veil of human tradition, the veil of the law of Moses, the veil of legalism, and all these things are destroyed and taken out of your face, you easily get to embrace those truths. You embrace them because, as a matter of fact, there's no demand placed on you. So you love to hear it when Bible says you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You love it. You love it when Bible reveals to you that for having faith in Christ, you are called the righteous man in the sight of God. You are declared righteous on account of your faith. Your sins are forgiven you. You love it. But I've discovered that the same set of people do not in any way embrace with such passion, with the same passion and excitement, they don't embrace the instructions and the warnings of the apostles. Now that's what it means to cherry pick Bible truths, or to cherry pick scriptures. You can't take the doctrine of the apostles without receiving their warnings and instructions. Because it's in the warnings and in the instructions you are able to really take advantage of their doctrinal positions. You know you are righteous in Christ Jesus, but you don't want to bear fruits of righteousness. You are righteous in Christ Jesus. However, your obedience to the instructions and the warnings given in scriptures is the only reason why you are going to bear fruits of righteousness and abound in every good work. Hallelujah. I've seen Christians who met the word of God and then just got into settings or circles where the truth of Christ is not eroded, and there's no training for ministry. There's no emphasis on the things that are emphasized in scriptures, in the letters of the apostles. And then all through their lives, you just discover that down the line, they've lost out on fervency and commitment to the things that matter. Prayer commitment is struggling. Bible study, it's a struggle. Evangelism, don't even go there. Amen. There are believers who cannot boldly say that they've preached the gospel in a year or two. You don't have anybody you've converted with the gospel of Christ. You don't have disciples. You are not bearing fruit. And then you think you are making progress. And it's a result of the association. There's the danger of settling down in a church that is not sound and healthy as a Christian. Hallelujah. So let us once again look through scriptures and see why we are to choose a local church. We're going to end this series. It's going to be over. We're going to move on to other teachings, other Bible positions and Bible submissions, and then it will be to your own peril to ignore everything that has been said. Amen. I began this series as led by the Spirit of God, and I also found it very timely because at that point in time I discovered a lot of people were saying things about the local church, things that are not healthy about the local church. Some outrightly were talking down on a need to be in a local church, while some were saying it doesn't matter where you find yourself, as long as you have come to know the word of God, you can blend, you can cope, you cannot, and all those things that we say. It's an erroneous mindset. The Bible does not in any way tell us to associate with just anybody or be in any place, whether the word of God is taught consistently, whether there is integrity of God's word being preserved, whether the purity of doctrine is esteemed, just be there. The Bible does not in any way give such positions. Those are human opinions, sentiments, our own ideas, just our own way of, you know, conveniently teaching God's wisdom and upholding our own wisdom. And that's pride. That's pride. A refusal to submit to God's word is pride. Hallelujah. So let's look through scriptures again. Why should I be a part of a local church? What are the things to look out for? Praise God. Training for ministry. This is very, very important and key. Hallelujah. Paramount or topmost on the list of why you should be in a local church is that there must be training for the work of ministry. Glory to God. Ephesians in chapter 4. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 from verse 11. And he himself gave some to be pastors, some evangelists, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. The local church is a setting that equips the saints for the work of ministry. Now, ministry is in threefolds. I've mentioned this before. There's ministry unto God, where we offer him the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13 and 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer up to God the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name or confessing his name. There is ministry unto God. Acts 13, 1. There were certain prophets and teachers as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, so there's ministering to God. There's also ministering to one another as believers. There's ministry within the body of Christ. Ministering to other believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the profit of all. So we minister to ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26 also. When you come together, so you see that there's ministering to ourselves as a body. So ministry is not just about one thing. There are three aspects of ministry: ministering to God, ministering to the body of Christ, and then there's ministry to the world. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, as a tongue, as a revelation, as an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. It's in the church we practice the things of the Spirit. Minister to ourselves. When I say practice, I'm not talking about trial and error. I mean, we learn to yield to the activities of the Spirit in a local church. So a sound local church gives room for believers to minister to one another. When last did you receive ministry from a fellow believer in your local church setting? Paul is giving us the ideal of a local church setting. When you come together, everyone has a psalm, has a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. That is where we learn to sharpen our gifts as believers. When you don't practice this in the church, it becomes difficult for you to experience it on a regular basis. There are many believers who, you know, the things of the Spirit are so strange to them. It's so strange. It's as though they've lost the Holy Ghost. Though the Holy Ghost is in them, the Holy Ghost is just there, lying dormant. They've not learned to sharpen themselves in the exercise of the things of the Spirit. Glory to God. Why? Because the local church they've chosen to be a part of has dulled their minds and their consciences, has dulled their sensitivity to the things of the Spirit. The church of Christ, rather, is a place where we give room for ministering to one another. That is where we sharpen our gifts. So this is about spiritual gifts. When you come together, you give a psalm, you have a tongue and interpretation, you learn to prophesy. Joel chapter 2 and verse 26. This is one of the blessings of the new covenant, where everybody can prophesy. And guess where we learn to prophesy well? In the local church. We are given to prophecy. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2. Glory to God. Joel chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 28. It says, but it shall come to pass in the last days, where I will pour my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Prophecy is given to every believer. We all are meant to prophesy on a regular basis. So in the church, we have the opportunity to learn to prophesy. Glory to God. To learn to prophesy. It says, your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. When last did you see a vision? When last did you have such spiritual sights? You learn to become more effective in the dispensing of these gifts as you find yourself settled in a sound local church that gives room for the practice of these things. Hallelujah. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Glory to God. And then I'll read from verse 30 downwards. 1 Corinthians 14. So there is ministering to God, ministering to the body. We learn to minister to ourselves. And this is done in the local church. That's why Paul says, okay, I'll have to start from verse 26 again. That's why Paul says, when you come together, you see that the practice of this is when people come together, when there's an assembling. Hallelujah. When there's an assembling, when we assemble together, we have psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. You have a teaching, you have a tongue, a revelation. You get better in the exercise of spiritual gifts in a sound local church. Hallelujah. Now, look at verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. If there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. The man that speaks in tongues must also interpret. If there's no interpreter, let him be quiet. Now, this speaking in tongues is not tongues for your own personal edification. It's about the man that speaks in tongues to the church. Wants to convey a message to the church and then begins to speak in tongues. After speaking in tongues, he must deliver that message by interpretation. Now, that's prophecy. Amen. Now, he says we are even meant to judge what he's saying. We judge his interpretation, his prophecy, after he's done. This is done in the setting of a local church. Hallelujah. Now, look at verse 30. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Verse 31, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Have you seen? You can all prophesy. So in the church, in the local church setting, there is room for every believer giving themselves to prophecy. Hallelujah. You can prophesy to the church. You can also receive prophecy. And if you don't practice this on a regular basis, that the use or the exercise of that gift will be dormant. Hallelujah. That is why you cannot afford to just pick any church and just belong there. You must look for a place where there is room for the things of the Spirit. There is room for the exercise of the things of the Spirit. Because if you resist the operation of the Spirit for a long time, your sensitivities will be dulled. Hallelujah. You'll find it difficult to walk in the things of the Spirit because you are no more used to them. Glory to God. So, a sound local church ensures that we learn to minister to the body of Christ via spiritual gifts. Amen. Also, that is where ministry gifts are nurtured. Romans in chapter 12. Ministry gifts are nurtured and developed in the local church. There are many teachers of God's word whose gifts are lying dormant, who are dying. I mean, your gift is dying off, in quotes, because you are not putting it to use. Because it's in the local church, you develop ministry gifts. Hallelujah. It's in the local church, you discover your gift your ministry gift as a person. Whether you're going to be a pastor or an evangelist, you find out that in the local church. As you receive ministry, you grow into your ministry gift. Glory to God. I mean, we are not meant to tell people, you are meant to be an apostle. You are meant to be... No. But as people mature in the faith, the ministry gift they've been called into will begin to show. Hallelujah. You find a man who is not just passionate about evangelism, but is passionate about telling other believers about it. And as rare insights into how to do the work of an evangelist. How to do the work of evangelism. That's evangelist right there. But such a man will not develop or discover that gift if he's not positioned in a sound local church where there's even room for the general ministry. Hallelujah. It's as people do the general ministry, we find out those who are gifted as evangelists. Glory to God. You know, Philip and Stephen and the rest of them were not the only ones preaching the gospel in the early church. The old church was preaching the gospel, but then it was clear that Philip was an evangelist. Hallelujah. The reason why he was able to discover himself as an evangelist was because there was room for the general ministry. How would you know you've been called to be an evangelist if you don't even evangelize? Hallelujah. So we develop our ministry gifts in the local church. Praise God. We discover our ministry gifts in the local church. This is not a teaching on ministry gifts. We're going to come to that some other time. But this is about us discovering our gifts in the local church. You won't know if you have been called to be a pastor until you submit to a ministry where there's an emphasis on God's word, study, and then you see pastoring firsthand. So you grow into your gift as you receive ministry in a sound local church. Listen, if you do not sit in a sound local church, you will never grow into your ministry gift. It's impossible. Because it's in the local church you are equipped for the work of ministry. It's only by the local church you will discover how God wants you to function in his body. Amen. Now look at Romans chapter 12. Glory to God. Romans chapter 12. From verse 3. Bible says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many and one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace of God that is given to us, let us prophesy," or let us use them. "If prophecy, let us prophesy." Now, every believer is meant to prophesy, but you do it according to your own ability in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So you see that in the body, there's a need for all of us to function in our gifts according to the grace that has been given to us. You make a discovery of this only as you find yourself in a sound and healthy local church. Hallelujah. And then he says, "In proportion to our faith or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching." Do you realize that every believer is meant to teach God's word? Hallelujah. Every believer is meant to teach the word of God. At Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews says to his audience, he says, "For when time has come for you to be teachers, you need again that one will teach you again, all over again, that which are the first principles of the oracles of God." So every believer is meant to be a teacher of God's word. A disciple is taught the word so he can also teach others. It's in the local church you develop your teaching ministry. Every believer has been called to teach God's word. Glory to God. So he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, every believer will give exhortations. He who gives, who is meant to give, all believers with liberality, you will do it according to your ability. Hallelujah. He who leads with diligence, every believer will have people following him. Do you understand what we're saying here? So you have people looking up to you. You have disciples. You don't have to be a pastor. And then he says, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The moment you say, "Well, everybody has one of these or two of these," you are going to nullify the essence of these gifts. How can one person be showing mercy and others are not showing mercy? Every believer is meant to show mercy. Every believer is meant to prophesy. Every believer is meant to do ministry. Every believer is meant to teach. Every believer is meant to give. So, but it's in the local church you will grow into effectiveness as a minister of these things. Hallelujah. So you cannot afford to just belong to a church that has no emphasis on equipping men for the work of ministry. There are other emphases today in the body of Christ. Emphasis on succeeding in life, emphasis on business, emphasis on career, emphasis on marriage. Those are emphases you find in the body of Christ today that are not in the scriptures. Those emphases are not in the New Testament. They are also not in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. You find the apostles give instructions in those areas, but they are not emphases. The emphasis in the New Testament is spiritual growth, which makes you grow into an effective minister of the gospel. So, spiritual growth and ministry. That's the emphasis. That's the essence of learning scriptures. That's the essence of learning God's word. That's the essence of being prayerful and building yourself up on your most holy faith so you can learn to minister. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Why do we learn to build up ourselves? For instance, 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Have you seen that? Especially that you may what? Prophesy. Now, who is at the receiving end of prophecy? Others. So imagine that you are desiring spirituals so you can be a blessing to others. And then it says in verse 2, for he who speaks in the tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So when I pray in tongues, I'm praying in tongues. I'm meant to be praying in tongues so I can edify others. I pray in tongues so I can prophesy. I pray in tongues so I can be edified enough to edify others. Glory to God. So that's the essence of growth. So you can be a blessing to others in the body of Christ. Primarily. Hallelujah. It is so you can be a blessing to others in the body of Christ and of course to the world. So primarily, spiritual growth is so you can be a blessing. Spiritual growth is so you can mature into your ministry and you can give yourself to the things that make for the edification of others. Hallelujah. So there are other emphases in the body of Christ today that are not Bible emphases. The emphasis of the New Testament, the emphasis of studying scripture, the reason why we study scriptures and we choose a sound local church is so we can grow spiritually and then become effective ministers. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It can't just be any kind of good work. These good works are good works found in Christ, exclusive to the believer in Christ. That's why Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, we are wired, we are formed and fashioned, workmanship in Christ Jesus, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God ordained beforehand that we should walk in them. The workmanship we are is for good works in Christ Jesus, which God ordained before. Hallelujah. It can't be your career, because your career is not ordained before time. Your career is not that which is in Christ. That's why unbelievers can also share in the same. As a banker, an unbeliever can also be a fellow banker. But an unbeliever cannot be a fellow minister of the gospel. He must be a believer to partake of that good work. So the good works we are wired for and designed and made for in Christ are things exclusive to Christ. That's why at John chapter 14, Jesus already defined the good works. So it is not just anything you can think of. It is about the work of ministry. Hallelujah. John 14. Glory to God. John 14 chapter verse 12 rather. Bible says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works that I do, shall he do also, because I go to my Father. He who believes in me, the very works that I do, shall he do. Not just any kind of work, the works of Christ. The works of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what we are equipped for in the local church. So a sound local church has an emphasis on spiritual growth and training for ministry, because spiritual growth eventually makes you become an effective minister of the gospel. As a matter of fact, can you say you are grown up as a Christian, or you are grown and mature in the faith, if you are not mirroring the lifestyle of Jesus? If you don't have his kind of passion, amen. How can you say you've grown up in the faith? But when we look at your life, we do not see you pursuing the things that Jesus pursued. We do not see you giving over to the things that Jesus gave himself to. The service and the ministry, hallelujah, that the Father has committed to him. So a man that grows up into Christ would only grow up to pick up Jesus' desire and passion and pursuit. Hallelujah. This is important. So we are called to do the work of ministry, and the local church is a place for training for that work of ministry. I say to you, if you do not get yourself a sound local church. I'm not talking about where they say Jesus died for our sins. He rose again. We are forgiven forever. We are new creatures. We are righteous. And that's what they are saying. I'm talking about a place where you are being trained. You are being trained for the work of ministry, because there are many people who are so deceptive. They use new Christian realities to bait men. I've been in such places before. So the fact that the man says we are righteous in Christ, we are this in Christ, all we have in Christ, God has blessed us in Christ, does not make the church a sound and a healthy church. Hallelujah. There must be premium placed on training for the work of ministry. Not just that. There must be room given for practical ministry. Like we saw at 1 Corinthians 14:26. The church must give room for the exercise and the practice of ministry. Hallelujah. Now, lastly, we are to be equipped for the ministry that we all have to the world, which is the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. This is very important. 2 Corinthians 5. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5. I'll start from verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation, all things are passed away. Or a new creation, all things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The moment we received newness of life, we also received the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Just think about it for a minute. If the person that preached the gospel to you was not committed to the work of ministry, would you be saved today? Hallelujah. You know, this idea of not everybody is meant to be preaching the gospel is so funny. If those who preach the gospel to you are taught that way, would you be saved? The work of ministry has been committed to every believer. Amen. That's why the church exists, to equip us for the work of ministry. It's so sad and very, very unfortunate that pastors who are meant to equip the saints for the work of ministry are the ones saying, well, we don't need to really preach the gospel. Not everybody is meant to really be preaching. Just invite people to church and then that's okay, that's fine. No! We are not meant to just be inviting people to church. We are meant to go out there and preach the gospel to the lost. And the church of Jesus is a place where you are meant to be facilitated and taught and equipped and mobilized for this work of ministry. You are not in a sound and a healthy local church until there is room given for practicing soul winning. You must be a soul winner. Hallelujah. You must be given to the work of reaching out to men on the street, reaching out to men in their houses, reaching out to men on the walkway. You must be given and sold out to the work of evangelism. Forget it. If you are already trying to explain it away or to excuse yourself, you are already on a bad spot. You are backslided. Hallelujah. You are backslided. You are already very cold and lukewarm, and you must repent. The church is a place for equipping us for the work of ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. Every believer has been called into the work of ministry, and the ministry of reconciliation is a general one that we all have been given to the world. It's a general commission and mandate. Refusal to heed this instruction is to live in obedience for the rest of your life. And you will stand before Jesus as a disobedient believer who would have no reward. You will have yourself to blame on that day. You see, all this preaching we are doing and trying to encourage you and admonish you and encourage you and get you to see a reason to commit your life today. All this preaching, you would have yourself to blame when you stand before Jesus and you discover that you lived for nothing. And you discover that all your works will go to waste. There is nothing you carry out of this world apart from the work you have done for Christ. This is about your eternity. This is about what Jesus will say to you when you stand before him on that last day. Glory to God. So it's not just good that you are saved. You must also be a party. You must also be a fellow worker with Christ in saving others. Hallelujah. Because this is the heartbeat of the Father. This is one thing God is desiring. This is one thing God is seeking for every man, that men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become near, and all things have become of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. There is nothing you can do about it. You can only choose to not do the work of ministry. You cannot say you have not received the ministry. You have received the ministry. You can choose to be effective. You can choose to be ineffective. You can choose to labor. You can choose to be idle. You can choose to take it and run with it. You can choose to reject it and not fulfill your ministry. Hallelujah. There is no believer that does not have the ministry. There is no believer that has not been given the work of ministry. But there are believers who will not fulfill their ministries because they have chosen to not yield themselves. So a sound local church will help you fulfill the most important aspect of your life. That which is the most important in your life is the work God has given you to do. It is the ministry God has given you to fulfill. So a sound local church will ensure that you fulfill the ministry. Hallelujah. You fulfill the ministry. Glory to God. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is what is at the core of Jesus' mission. It is the core. I mean, it is the core. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus did not labor about many things. It was about the work of salvation. And after that work was done, he commissioned his church to go into the world and tell others about it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 2. Glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is God's desire? That all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That is the essence of the prayer we're even meant to pray for all men. Hallelujah. Pray for all men. Pray that we live in peace and quietness. That is, there should be no uproar. Amen. Against the gospel, so that men can receive the knowledge of Christ. Let's pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. It says this is good because God desires that all men be saved. Hallelujah. It is good that there's quietness and peace in the land so that men can receive the word. So that men can come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. So that men can receive the knowledge of the truth. Now, even in the midst of persecution and there's no peace in the land and there's persecution and there's fight against the gospel, we are still meant to persevere in preaching the gospel because the salvation of souls is so important. Hallelujah. This is the heartbeat of the Father to get men saved. And what a privilege to be a part of this powerful and beautiful work. In the ministry of Jesus, he was not just telling people to preach. I know there's that deception in some churches. And then the pastor does not engage you in the work of ministry. Does not mobilize you to do the work of ministry. But he keeps coming to the pulpit to say, I hope you are preaching the gospel. I hope you are sharing your faith. Just tell others about Jesus. Go into this week and tell others about Jesus. It's a deception. He's trying to appear as though he's serious about the ministry. He's not serious if he's not mobilizing you for ministry. Hallelujah. I told somebody, I said, in your church, they have time to mobilize people for other things. They have time to mobilize people for family Sunday. They have time to mobilize people for barbecue service. They have time to mobilize people for movies, to watch movies and unwind. But there's no time to mobilize people to go and preach the gospel. You say, people are going to come from far places, people have work, people are busy, you know. Can't you see such an idea is devilish? You have time to mobilize people for every other thing apart from doing the work of God, doing the will of God. Hallelujah. It is such a disaster. Listen and listen good. Any pastor or church leader that is not mobilizing and equipping the saints for the work of ministry is also not passionate about the ministry. Praise God. He's also not passionate, and ministry now is specific about soul winning. He also does not win souls. He also is not passionate about preaching to the lost. That's the reason why he will never see a need to equip you or mobilize you to do that work. Hallelujah. You see, those things he has time for are the things he is passionate about. Those things he mobilizes the saints for are the things he's passionate about. He can mobilize people for business summits. He can mobilize people for entrepreneurship training. He can mobilize people for all that. But when it comes to doing the work of ministry, going out to the streets to preach, he cannot mobilize people. They don't have time for it. That's because his own priority is also not about souls. Praise God. And that's a shame. And we have a lot of pastors and church leaders like that today. Let's see the model we have in the ministry of Jesus as I close. Hallelujah. The model we have in the ministry of Jesus is that of men going out to preach deliberately. Jesus mobilized men to go and preach. And that is the pattern we find in the book of Acts also. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel chapter 9 from verse 1. Bible says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus sent them out to preach. You see, that was an active mobilization. It wasn't telling them, you know, when you have the time, make sure you share your gospel, or share the gospel rather, on your way to work. Just make sure you be a blessing to people. You know, we don't really need to converge or, you know, come together for evangelism. It's not really that hard. It's not really that serious. But, you know, you can do it in your spare time, on your way to work. In your, hey, it doesn't make sense. Jesus sent them out and it was deliberate. Hallelujah. In fact, it is that deliberate coming together to go and do the work of ministry, to go and preach to the lost, that makes people do it. That is what equips them and motivates them to do it when they are also on their own. That is the reason why I'm going to preach on my way to work, is because I've learned to preach together with other believers. Amen. Whatever we don't practice together really becomes a habit in our individual spaces. It really becomes a habit. If you find anybody who has not been mobilized to preach the gospel regularly, who is very passionate about it, that's a miracle. Amen. Anybody that is seated in a local church where they practice those things, a sound local church where they practice those things, is the person that will be passionate about it even when we are not together. But go and look at people who are in churches where there's no emphasis on it, and they are not being mobilized to do it. Go and look at them very well. They don't do it. They cannot do it. They will not even remember to do it, because it's a collective practice of these things that makes us own them as our own individual habits and cultures. Hallelujah. So it's important. Jesus had to deliberately send people out to preach. Glory to God. Now you might say, well, those were the 12 disciples, now the apostles. Okay, what about chapter 10? Luke's Gospel chapter 10 from verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. He sent 70 others out. Those were just disciples. They were not apostles. Those were not apostles. Disciples. He sent them out to go and preach. Hallelujah. To go preach. And then he gave them the same charge. Look at verse 10. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, verse 9, it says, and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. So they were meant to go and preach and heal the sick, the very things he commissioned the 12 apostles for. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 2, Luke's Gospel chapter 10, verse 2. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. After sending out 12 men, 70 men, 82 men to go and preach, he says, the harvest is plenty and the laborers are still few. Hallelujah. Now look at what he says. Go, he says, now pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now the church is a place where laborers are meant to be built. That prayer that Jesus said they should pray, the church is meant to be the answer to that prayer. Where men are going to be laborers in the vineyard of God. Amen. So we see that Jesus was not just telling them to do ministry. He equipped them and mobilized them to do the work of ministry. That is the kind of trait you will find in a sound and healthy local church. There must be emphasis on ministry and there must be mobilization for the work of ministry. Until we have done that, we have not followed the pattern of Jesus and his apostles. Hallelujah. So I want to plead with you. I want to beg you. I want to plead with you. I beseech you by the mercies of God. Don't shortchange your life as a Christian. Don't shortchange your life as a believer. Don't make excuses for church leaders who are not emphatic about ministry and who do not mobilize saints for the work of ministry. Don't make excuses for them. It is not about them now. It's about your life. Choose that which you can see clearly in scriptures as the model and pattern for ministry. Let me say this to you. The idea of not mobilizing the saints for the work of ministry is very convenient. Oh, it's a comfort zone. I can easily just embrace that as a pastor and my work will be much more easier. But you know what? The hard part is what the Bible teaches. So let's choose the hard part. Let's choose the labor part. Let's choose that which entails diligence. Let's choose that which entails enduring hardship as good soldiers of Christ. It is never going to be convenient, and that is why many people find it easy to just explain it away and go for the easy part of neglect and negligence, but you have yourself to blame when you stand before Jesus. You wish you served laboriously. You wish you committed to it, though it's a hard and difficult task. You wish you committed yourself to it when you stand before Jesus on that last day. Hallelujah. I want to plead with you again. Choose God's wisdom as opposed to human wisdom. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue from here in the next episode. Do good to invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of power, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.